And we just rejoice for this young girl. I guess she's been coming a couple weeks and trusted Christ this morning, or at least went to be counseled. I don't know if she trusted Christ. And that's good to see you. You know, whenever, you know, sometimes you preach messages that are general in nature. It's like, who doesn't need to love God more, right? And I've been asking the Lord to do a work in my heart. And I just didn't, even last night, I was thinking about, it's funny how you lay down and you're thinking about something. And I was just thinking about a soccer game. Is there anything sinful about soccer? Not if it's, some of you are like, yeah, football, right? But I was just thinking about this game, and then I thought about it for like 10, 12 minutes. Have you ever tracked your brain what you think about? And also I'm laying in there last night and I said, Lord, I don't want to be thinking about soccer right now. You know, Lord, we've got the Lord's, your days tomorrow and a big day and a church has been praying, and Lord, I want to be thinking about you. And even this morning, so I was telling the Lord that last night as I was laying in bed, but then I was thinking, even as a song service, I was just thinking, you know, Lord, what a joy it is that we get a day that we set aside where we have to come and focus on you. Because I think some of us, we would drift, wouldn't we? We would drift because that's our propensity. And so it's so good for us to come this morning and focus on loving God. Now, Pastor communicated that sometimes during this hour, he opens it up so if you have any questions about what we preached on, that you could ask any questions. Does anybody has a question that you'd like to ask? And you feel free to. If not, we've got a whole other Sunday school lesson here. And we'll just, if there's any brief questions. Besides my wife. No, she's not raising her hand. Anybody? We sure do. We actually, our oldest is only 5. So we just started. And what a blessing we have. Stephanie Coffey is an elementary education major. And so she's actually taking Anna Grace for an hour a day. And they're hitting the basics. And Mom really spent time with Anna Grace last year. So Anna Grace, I think, is really ready to roll. And so we're just starting. But we will homeschool. Yes, ma'am. Any other questions about the road or anything like that? Those are fair game too. Anybody? Well, this week, what's going to happen? Tonight we'll meet at 6. And then what will happen is tonight we're going to really map out the week. We're going to explain all the different opportunities that we have to invite folks to hear the gospel this week. In fact, tonight's service is going to be special. I've been praying about this. And once I knew Pastor's burden for this week, tonight what we're going to do is we're going to preach on evangelism. But then in turn, we're going to conclude with just some mini prayer meetings. We're going to have some prayer meetings for some specific people that we want to come to hear the gospel and by God's grace be saved. And so you're not going to want to miss tonight. This will be a great opportunity for you just to express your heart burden. And that will be tonight's service. Then on Monday, we have more of a family emphasis. And what that is it'll be a message that will help believers in working with their families, but at the same time, the gospel will be clearly communicated in that message. And so if you have a lost family member, they could come and hear how to deal with hurts or relationships or communication and marriage, but then in turn, they'll also be able to hear a gospel presentation. Now, on the Tuesday, we're calling it F-R-A-K, right? Or no, F-A-N-C? Well, do you know how it was? It was... What? I'll have to ask Pastor Chris. Okay, I'm sorry. It was friends, acquaintances. I mean, oh, thank you. F-A-R-N, Fran. Okay, there we go. Fran, okay? And so what that is, it's just a friend night. It's a night for us to invite our friends, our neighbors. We'll have some extra special music. And really, depending on who's here, we may either have a gospel presentation or we'll have a message that's directed towards the believers that will have then the gospel in it. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be preaching a message on what's next. Really, Bible prophecy and emphasizing really the rapture of the church and then also the second coming of Christ. And how that we need to be ready. And that, again, another opportunity for us to bring out folks. The teenagers are using that night prior to the service to invite their friends. They'll have a little activity. Come into the main service, have some pizza afterwards. Then on Thursday is our Sacred Irish Concert. And then on Friday, we'll have another friend day or an opportunity for us to have a gospel presentation. And afterwards, I think we have some refreshments, time of fellowship, just to wrap it up. And so these are just some great opportunities for us to be inviting folks. If you'll notice, Really, now is the hardest time to start inviting. We can invite and people still will come if we invite. But we've got to work on those that we have relationships with. And we need to be in the business of developing and cultivating relationships with people that are around us so that we get these tools, these opportunities, that we're ready to go. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. Please forgive my sniffles. I think I'm allergic to the Midwest during this time of the year, during the harvest season. Psalm 119 is a beautiful psalm. I would challenge you to do study in it beyond just this one 25-minute message time. I would challenge you to get to know Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has almost every verse has something to do with the Word of God. I think it's all but three of the verses directly mention something about the Word. There's eight different words for the Word. Word, commandments, way, statutes. Goes through and just talks about the Word. But then if you also look, all but four verses are directed back to the Lord in prayer. And so it's this blend of the Word and prayer mingling together. And that's where the Christian is to live. A Word-filled a believer that's just communicating with God as he goes. It's just a constant state of walking with and enjoying the Lord. But as you look in Psalm 119, 16 of the verses have what is translated in our King James Bible as to revive, quicken, or that I may live. That's really how it's translated. In Psalm 85, verse 6, it's translated, revive. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? In Psalm 119, many times it's translated to quicken, or quicken me. And I believe that we should pray, Lord, quicken me. I believe we need God to touch our heart. We need God to revive us. We need God to stir us up. In a moment, we're going to give us five reasons why we ought to pray quicken me, and we'll conclude the Sunday school hour in praying that. But let's read through the verses that have this Hebrew word in it that's translated to quicken me. Verse 17, if you'd like to, you could underline or put a little check or something, or just write down the verse numbers. Verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. There's that phrase that's translated from the Hebrew word, that and keep thy word. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Verse 40, behold, I've longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. 116, uphold me according to thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. 144, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. I'm sorry, thank you very much. 149, I did 144 and then 149. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Quicken me, or O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. 154, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. And 175, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Father, I pray that you'd quicken us this morning. Lord, that we in our drifting would be brought back in focus to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First reason why I believe we ought to pray quicken me this morning is quicken me because I want to know your word. You ever drifted away from the word? You ever allowed your devotional time to become a duty time? You're just working your way through the Bible, and so you're checking out the little boxes. You're just trying to keep up, and so now you're stuck somewhere in Jeremiah or Ezekiel or somewhere in the minor prophets, and you're just getting there and you're cramming through a couple chapters because you want to get your way through the scripture. Quicken me, Lord, is a prayer we ought to pray. Quicken me because I want to know your word. Verse 40, it says, behold, I've longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse 17 says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live, and then what? Keep thy word. Look at verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let me ask you a question. Is God's word your delight? Does God's word soul satisfy you? A friend of mine, his father was a lay pastor, a church of about 60 folks, and he worked a job on the side. But this man was full of piety. He just loved God personally. And he would come out of a devotional, he came out of his evening devotional time where he'd read the Old Testament. He came out and he's got his Bible. And I just happened to be there with my friend. And this lay pastor, he looked at us and he said, that was delicious. Does God's word thrill your heart? Have you drifted away from the word? Then it's time for us to say, Lord, quicken me. I gave as an illustration this morning that friend of mine who said, I'm so sick of being shallow. It could be that here you are and you're coming to the church and you're enjoying the preaching and Pastor Mike is teaching you and he's helping you and the Lord's growing you. But you know what? We are not to be people who just eat from somebody else's table. We're to be a people who love the Word and go after the Word and want to know Christ and understand Christ. I was convicted last week as I was looking through a message that I preached a long time ago, and I was restudying through it, and I came up with some new understanding, and I closed it, and I just thought, Lord, you've got to deepen me. I can't just live at this level. Lord, I want to know your Word. I want to understand it. I want it to be in my heart. Quicken me, Lord, because I want to know your word. But then I believe we ought to pray, quicken me, secondly, quicken me because it hurts so badly. It's amazing how many Christians are one question away from tears. You ask the right question the right way and the tears start to flow. You ask a question about the child. You ask a question about the parent. You ask a question about the sibling, work, finances, some emotional trial, some spiritual trial, some area of sanctification that you're wrestling with. And all of a sudden the tears start to flow. Quicken me, Lord, because it hurts so badly. This guy comes into my office during the summer and he's got tears coming down and he said, Will, it just hurts so bad. And what does the text say in verse 50? This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Another great study for you if you're to be going through Psalm 119 is to take about the 7 or 8 times that the word affliction is used, and you'd find how much God says that we find our solace in trials in His Word. Look at verse 107. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to Thy Word. I was going through just a small trial. To me, it was a big trial. Isn't that amazing? Whatever trial you're in, the person who's in it, it's a big trial, right? So I'm hurting. Brother Pettit calls me up. Steve Pettit. I know he's been here before. And Brother Pettit, I used to travel with him for 6 years. And he called me up. He said, Will, I heard about this circumstance. How are you doing? I said, well, not so good. But Brother Steve, how are you doing? You see, this was the time that his wife Terry had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she's in Denver. And he's traveling half weeks and flying back. And it was that crucial time of cancer where you don't know whether or not she's going to make it. And he's got this boy who's 5. He's got this other boy who's 14. And he's got these girls who are just getting out of high school. And I got my little trial. And he starts talking. I said, Steve, but your trial's a whole lot bigger. How are you doing? He said, Will, terrible. I said, terrible. He said, I've cried myself to sleep every night this week. If you know Brother Pettit, he doesn't look like a crybaby. You know what I mean? He said, I'm so thankful, though. I've got 150 friends. Their names are the Psalms. He said, Will, I've been finding my solace. I've been finding just a place for my heart to express itself to God. Oh, I praise Him for the Psalms. And it could be that you're hurting. And it could be you came in this morning because you just want to be with God and you want to worship and you want to obey and you want to be with the people of God. But you came in those doors and you feel like you've got 3,000 pounds in the backpack of life. And your heart hurts. And if somebody was to get you alone and ask you the right question, tears would begin to flow. If they asked about the child, they asked about the other circumstance, it's time to pray, quicken me, for this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, Lord, according to thy word. But I believe we ought to pray, quicken me, because we're so distracted. I mentioned this morning, but have you noticed how this world conspires against a relationship with God? Well, you know, one of our team members, Stephanie, her birthday is today. And so we're going to have a little birthday party tonight after the service. And so we got here about 1 and we kind of set up some stuff and then we loaded up in the truck, our little family, and we went to a couple stores and got her a couple gifts and we went around and we went over to a little Mexican restaurant there and ate. And have you noticed how loud this world is? You got to be happy. You've got to buy this. You want to be happy. You've got to experience this. You need a plan that has rollover minutes. You need better coverage. You need more square footage. You need this. You've got to have this. You cannot be satisfied. Can I tell you how many of us, we come into this church building and here we are, we're getting ready for the message, but our brain is zinging around and our brain is running on all sorts of things because we are so distracted. I remember reading the biography, or actually it's the journal of Jim Elliot. And as I'm reading it, he's coming across how he walks into a room. It's 1950s, and he sees his first television. And the verse that he quotes is, he says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." You see, there's so much vanity, is there not? That's why I was so convicted last night. Laying in my bed, thinking about something that's not sinful. It's just, it's something that's not going to last. You see, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. We're so distracted. I was listening to one man preach a message about the noise of the soul, and he listed 8 different noises. And so rather than invent my own, I just began to cut and paste from him, and he began to list this noise that so robs us of our ability to hear God. The first noise was fear and anxiety. Have you ever been fearful before? You ever worried? You know you're worrying when it's 2:30 and you're thinking about something and you look at the clock and now it's 2:32. An hour goes by, but it's only 2:33. You come up with plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. You got every little plan in the books, every little scenario thought through, fear and anxiety, and you push out the voice of God. That's why Philippians says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." What? Let Him be known unto God. Bring it to the Lord. Cast your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. But what about discouragement and despair? How many of you have ever been through a time of emotional discouragement that you could not see your way through? Anyone ever been there? I remember 3 years in a row, the week after Thanksgiving, I think it's because of our schedule. We start in January and we go, 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 Thanksgiving, turkey, discouragement. I remember 3 years in a row, I was in a funk. I just couldn't see my way through. I knew all the answers up here, but my heart, all there was darkness. And there's some of you, you despair, you lose hope. You forget that there's a God who reigns. And you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And rather than walking through, you are fearing evil. You need to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, quicken me. I need new life. I need You to cause me to live. Quicken me, Lord." What about anger and frustration? You know, angry people can't see God. You ever heard the phrase, "I was so angry I couldn't see straight"? So angry I couldn't think straight? Angry people do amazing things. They fight with inanimate objects. Have you noticed that? They talk to things that can't talk back. They strike things that cannot hit back. Anger and frustration can give way to bitterness and lack of forgiveness. And bitter people cannot go after the Lord, because bitter people are saying, God, if you're good, then you must not be in control. Or God, if you're in control, you must not love me. And we're doubting the attributes and the ways of God. And let me tell you something. It could be you came in this morning with some anger and some hurt that spilled over into bitterness. It's time for us to pray, Lord, quicken me, because I am so distracted by vanity. I'm so distracted by things that will pass away. What about lust and greed? This world, though it is so technologically advanced, is a society that's done quite well to dispense immoral objects quickly into the houses of Americans. You can't drive down a road without somebody inviting you. You walk through Walmart to buy just things, and there she beckons. A society that's X-rated in nature. And if lust isn't great, greed is. And the covetousness that drives us, and the competition to keep up with other people, to tear down our barns and build up new barns. And I got to have this and that. We're told in Timothy, having therefore food and raiment, let us be there with content. You brought nothing in this world, and it's certain you can carry nothing out. Some of us, we daydream about being rich. We coordinate and we strategize to be rich and not to do more of God's work. Or we'll tag on that 10% or that 20% or whatever it is. But in our mind, it could be that you're wrestling with some serious covetousness. You cannot go after God that way. And then for many of us, if we cave into the lust and greed, there's guilt and shame. It could be you came in this morning with the proverbial tail between your legs and so discouraged and so downtrodden and so discouraged because of some other sinful choices. I'm so thankful for Romans 5 and 6 and 7. I just read them this morning for my own devotional time, and I came to the end of Romans 5, and it's talking about unbelievers and how that they may have great sin, but God's grace is greater. And then it starts kind of making some applications of sinner to saints. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But can I tell you, there is no sin that God's grace cannot cover. Some of us, we get so weary and so discouraged because the guilt and the shame. Come to Christ this morning. Cry out to the Lord. Quicken me, Lord. I'm so distracted. I've gotten away from following after you because I just feel like I'm going to give up or I'm going to fail in the future, and I've failed in the past, so why even try now? But what about positions and possessions? Just more noise, legitimate responsibilities. How many of you have a to-do list that's longer than it should be? Would you raise your hand? How many have too many emails in the inbox that should be in the outbox? Would you raise your hand? Man, I hate email. There's people out there, I finally put a good hour into it, and I knock out maybe 15 or 20 really, really hard emails that maybe I'd have put thought into, and I finally get them all sent out, and then I get like 35,000 more. Some of those people, they just respond. I mean, it's like they don't even think. They just... All of a sudden, if we're not careful, we go all day long, and we've been doing, and we've been getting things done, and man, we're just checking it off the list, and then all of a sudden, you get to 8:30 at night, and you went a whole day without God. You're distracted. Oh, Lord, quicken me. Can I tell you, even in the ministry, and probably Pastor Burway could verify this for you, but you know what? Even in the ministry, you can become distracted. But what about entertainment and amusement? A secular man, he wrote a book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And he was just talking about the United States getting distracted from core values. But as Christians, some of us, we get so many things that are not sinful in and of themselves. They just rob us of our heart. Quicken me, Lord, because I am so distracted. Join in with Jim Elliot when he prayed, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. But I believe the fourth reason we ought to pray, quicken me, is because sin's power is great. How many of you ever get weary of not just what you do, but who you are? Would you lift your hand? You know what I'm saying? You ever get tired of confessing the same old, because there's a heart issue that's not been addressed? You ever get tired of falling into the same trap because there's an idol in the heart that needs to be torn down? You know what I'm talking about? sin's power is great. You know, just yesterday I was frustrated over some event. My wife and I were working on a project and I didn't do something right. I didn't read the directions and we just spent an hour and a half on a project and all that we did was wasted because we didn't do it right and I was frustrated. And we're fixing it, and the Lord's speaking to me that I have an idol of comfort that I didn't want to waste any more time because I have things that I want to do on Saturday, the day that we have no responsibilities into a specific local church. So I've got things I want to do. I've got my own little comforts. And I began to talk to the Lord as I'm rotating these things and putting them in the right way. Lord, don't let me constantly bow to the idol of comfort. I had a friend of mine, I was going through a trial, I called him up, and he didn't let me put my head on his shoulder. He just said, I'm so glad God's not called us to a life of ease and convenience. That way we'll hunger for heaven. I said, I don't need you as a friend. Click. But you know what? So many of us, we're so deceived by the great power of sin. So many of us are controlled by covetousness. Some of us in this room, you're controlled by lust. Some of you, you're controlled with a gossiping tongue. Some of you, you're controlled by the fear of man that results in lies and exaggeration. Some of you, you have got in your heart areas that you have just been cloaking over and not working with. You see, that's why David cries out in verse 25, hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. He says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken me according to thy word. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. You see, here's David. And in turn, he's got things that have got a hold of him. And whether they were physical or spiritual, it's the whole idea of saying, God, unless you intervene, I will falter. I will cave in. I was talking to one guy, he just graduated from Bible college, he's getting ready to go into ministry. I said, how much time do you spend with the Lord? And he said, oh, I don't know, about 10 minutes or so. I said, that's all? He goes, yeah, just about 10 minutes. I said, that's all? No other time of the day? You don't have an extra time of prayer? No, just about 10. I said, do you want to know why you don't spend so much time with the Lord? Because your mama didn't get in a car wreck? Your dad doesn't have cancer? Your girlfriend didn't break up with you? You didn't fail publicly in some area of secret sin. You want to know why you don't spend time with the Lord? Because you don't think you have a need. But if we were to be honest, we have massive needs. The arrogance that, like a serpent, raises its head. The anger that is exposed. Sin's power is great. But quicken me, Lord, because I just want to know you. How many of you have a hunger just to know God more? Would you raise your hand? Won't it be great when we actually see Christ? Have you ever, whether through reading the Word or maybe with Pastor Burway's preaching or somebody singing, have you ever just gotten a whiff of heaven? The other day I was just sitting there, I was sitting on the platform and the team was singing some song about drawing near and it was just like, just for a second, just for 2 seconds, this air of heaven comes into my brain and I'm thinking, it's real! Jesus is real, heaven is real, and one day faith will become reality and hope will become sight and one day I will fellowship and I'll touch and I'll see Jesus. You know what the Word does? It gives us faith. Lord, quicken me. Why? Because I just want to know You. Oh, for verse 149, hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Oh, Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. When God quickens us, He shows us His loving kindness. 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Verse 175, let my soul live and it shall praise thee. When God does a work in your heart, isn't that a reason to praise Him? Oh, sometimes we preach so pragmatically. Oh, you got to have good devotions. No, you got to know God. You see, what is it? When you go here because you're supposed to and out of duty and you're just doing it because you love God with your will and you come and you start reading the black marks on the white page and then all of a sudden this rainbow effect and the Word begins to speak and God begins to minister, and you're just ripping it up, and it's just so good. And then you look at the watch, it's time to go, but I've got to finish this verse, and oh, this is so good. And then you finally get one more look, and you close it, and you're on your way to your responsibilities, but it's still lingering. Wasn't God good? What about when a stream of your sorrow is overwhelmed by a river of God's grace? Though there's a hurt, there's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. How is it that a Christian can have tears and a smile at the same time? A peace that passeth all understanding. We just don't want to be quickened so we have good devotions or we make it through a trial. We want God to quicken us because we want to know Him. What about when we're distracted? What about when sin power's great? How many of you have experienced God's intervention in some area of your sinfulness in the last 2 weeks? Would you lift your hand? That's what God was doing last night to me. He was saying, don't give any more of that meditation time to the world. They got too much of it already. He was confronting me. I'm preaching at Pioneer Village, and I'm preaching away in this little junior. About 2 years ago, he's sitting right here and he's just crying the whole way through. And I'm almost distracted. I almost wanted to stop and put my arm around and say, what's going on? I get done with the message and that's what I do. And he looks at me and said, we told our parents, we'd never tell. I said, what's going on? And this little fourth grader with his older brother were going next door and they were looking at pictures of naked people on the internet. That's how he said it. I know his parents. His parents don't even have an internet connection because they're trying to protect their four boys. And so here's a boy who's got this in his heart, and I'm telling him concepts of sanctification that are adult because he's got an adult problem. And I don't feel like I'm communicating to this fourth grader. And I leave Pioneer Village, and I'm walking back to our trailer. And I'm looking up into heavens, and I'm saying, Lord, what about his soul? I get back the next morning and I'm teaching the boys and girls how they can build a biography of God and how that they're not too young to have devotions. And we're doing Psalm 23 and I'd say, now tell me something about who God is, and we'll all write it down. One girl stands up, the Lord's my shepherd, I don't have to want. Another boy stands up and says, I don't have to be afraid when I walk through the valley of shadow death. Great, great, God is our shepherd. God will protect us. And then this boy, he stands up and he says, God's rod and staff, they comfort me. And when I drift off of the path, God loves me enough to pull me back on. And I'm preaching this 120 juniors, and I'm kind of wiping some tears because God intervened. Wasn't God good to intervene at fourth grade versus seventh grade? Wasn't God good to intervene at fourth grade and not when the guy's married and when he's got kids? Wasn't God good? And when God intervenes in your life, sir, He's a good God. Don't fight God when He intervenes. Don't fight Him when He sends the arrow of His love attached to His loving kindness and it slams into your heart and He begins to draw you unto yourself. When God speaks to you about pride, humble yourself. When God speaks to you about deceit, be truthful. When God speaks to you about your idols, crush them. God's good to intervene. Oh, Lord, I just want to know You. And so when you're distracted and when sin's power is great, cry out to Him. Lord, quicken me. And don't just take away these idols. Lord, I just want to know You. So who this morning could say, Will, I can think of some areas I just need to ask the Lord to quicken me. Could you lift your hand? So let's do that. Let's take it's 11:21. Can we take 4 minutes privately to 4:25 and get these words open, get the text, read through it, and let's ask the Lord to quicken us. Pastor Verway, could you close after a couple minutes?